minister to us, and that His Spirit will speak to us this evening what He wants us to know, and the things He wants to remind us, that He will remind us those things, and He will teach us those things, and He will give us the grace to be doers of His word. Pray that God Himself will speak to you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Our Lord and our God, we appreciate you for all the good things you have been doing in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that are coming. Thank you, Lord, for our family members, nuclear and extended family members that you have been reaching out to, that you have been visiting, that you have been protecting, that you have been granting safe delivery. Father, be exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that more good things you will be doing in our midst in Jesus' name. For the message or exhortation that we have this evening, we pray that, Lord, you will minister to us. We pray, Lord, we will personalize this. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of us and help us, Lord, to use all the good gift and abilities you have given to us to serve you in Jesus' name. Thank you because you have answered. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Brethren, please, if you can hear me, can you kindly say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. This evening, like our pastor mentioned, we are looking at the exhortation titled, The Privilege of Service to God. The Privilege of Service to God. We are going to read from Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to verse 30. Matthew 25, verse 14 to verse 13. Any volunteer can help us to read, please. Matthew 25, 14 to 13.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 13. I read, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and dig in the earth and hid his lost money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not, shall be taken away from that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly for the reading. By the grace of God, as mentioned earlier, the topic we are considering is the privilege of service to God. What is privilege? Privilege is a special right or advantage that is granted or that is made available only to a particular person or a group of people. In the passage we have read, this servant had a special privilege. The Bible tells us that the master called them and then he gave them his goods. That privilege was not for everybody, but for them alone. And if you consider service, what is service? Service is the action of helping or doing work for someone. So as it relates to the topic we are looking at, there are some privileges God has given to us as believers. And this privilege that he has given us, he wants us to make use of that privilege properly. We're going to consider this privilege one after the other. He has given us abilities. For example, in the passage we read, the Bible tells us he gave them the gift, the talent, the goods according to their ability. He knew that they can manage those gifts. They can manage those goods. Hence, according to their ability, he gave them, you know, those goods. And he expected them to serve with the goods, with the talent he has given to them. To us as believers, the Lord is reminding us that you as a Christian, you as a believer, you have the ability to possess God-given gift and talents. In verse 15 that our brother read, he said he gave them goods according to their ability. You can possess gifts, talents, and, you know, things that you can use to serve the Lord. That ability is there. Another thing that we are getting from the passage we read now is that Christ is depending on us. Let's look at verse 15. He said, unto one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. What does that mean? That means that he gave them those talents, those goods, and he was not going to stay with them to use those talents and those goods. So he straightway went his way because he was depending on them to use the goods, to use the talent that he has given to them. The same way as Christians, the Lord is depending on you. There are some things the Lord has given to you. There are some abilities you have. And based on those abilities, he has endowed you with certain things. And he's not going to stay there to do those things for you because he has given you to profit with those things. So God is depending on you. God is depending on me. He's depending on you in your church. He's depending on you in that city where you are. He's depending on you in the place where you are working. He's depending on you in the school where you are. He has gone, he has straightway went his way, but has given you ability, he has given you talent. Another thing we see from this passage that we're also learning from is that we as believers, we must not render ourselves redundant and useless. In verse 25 and verse 24, then he which has received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent. Look at it. And went and hid thy talent. He did not even put himself, you know, in the service at all. He did not see himself as going to be useful at all. He said, I went and hid thy talent. Look at what he said more. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, behold, there thou hast. That is thine. Look at the thing you gave me. It is in that place. Look at the thing you say you give me. It is there. Look at the work you say you give me. It is there. People, you know, he doesn't consider himself as somebody that is privileged to have those talents, to have those goods, and to use them. And God is using this to encourage us as believers, as Christians, that, you know, is depending on us, and he does not want us to render the gift, the talent he has given us, useless. He does not want us to render ourselves useless. Don't say that is your church, that is your work, that is the pastor's duty, that is the pastor's assignment. If they are going to be preaching to me like that all the time, and I'll be hearing that kind of message all the time, their church is their church. Their work is their work. I will just resign. I will just leave it. That is the attitude of this man. There thou ask, that is thine, thy talents. The Lord will give us the grace that we will see, you know, the gift, the goods God has given to us as privilege, and we'll use them, you know, as privileged people to serve God in Jesus' name. You know, there was something I read, and it was said that 90% of the work in most churches is done by 10% of the members. The other 90% of church members cheer on those hard workers, or sometimes put them down without doing much work themselves. Thus, 10% of Christians deserve some rest, while 90% of them deserve some exercise. Which of this group do you belong to? The 10% who is always jumping here, doing everything, running here and there, they're in church to sweep, they're in church to decorate, they're in church to clean the toilet, they're in church to make pastry, they're in church to do everything, they're in church early, they're the first in church, they're the one to open the door. Are you in that 10% or you are in the 90% who always sit back and say, Pastor, right on. Oh, brother, God bless you. Oh, brother, you are doing so much. The Lord will continue to bless you. God is challenging us today. Jump out of that 90%. Jump and join the group of the 10%. As believers, there are some great privileges God has given to us. One of them is that it is the grace of God. We are steward of God's manifold grace. That means the Lord has given you grace. As you give your life to Christ, you become a custodian of God's grace. And that God's grace is in you. And God is expecting that anywhere you go, you should allow that grace to be visible to people. Let it be visible in your interaction. Let it be visible as you try to preach to them. Let it be visible in your dressing. Let it be visible. Let people know who you are. You are a custodian of the grace of God. That is one privilege God has given to us. Another privilege is that He has not just given us that grace, He has also given us a platform to trade with those grace. So we are spiritual tradesmen in the house of the Lord. That is another privilege. And these two privileges God has given to us, God wants us to see them and use them and see ourselves as privileged employees in the divine service of the Lord. And so we shall be in Jesus' name. And as we serve Him, we should do it cheerfully. We should do it willingly. We should do it faithfully. We should do it continuously. God will give us that grace to do that. He wants us to have the attitude of gratitude, that we are privileged to be custodian of His grace. We are privileged to have a platform to serve Him. And because of that attitude of gratitude, we serve the Lord. He will help us to do that in Jesus' name. Let's look at part one. Poverty and servitude outside Christ. We're going to read Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, let's read verse 15 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 21. Please, any volunteer can help us read, please.
Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 21. And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Amen. God bless you richly. Now, you see this man we have read about here. The Bible says he is rich, he is laying up treasure for himself, but towards God he is very poor. You can see that poverty of somebody who does not put God in mind. Brethren, now you see from that passage that Everyone is busy with something. And this man, he was just only busy after his farm yield, and now he will store them and then lay them up for the future. He was poor towards God, but he was physically rich. And the Lord is encouraging us from here that as Christian, it is good to be busy, to work and pick up shift and be busy morning, afternoon, and evening. But as we do that, we must make sure that we are not poor spiritually. We must make sure that we put him in mind and we also serve him. And the Lord will give us grace to do that in Jesus' name. When we are full of self-service, we are poor. It's a sign. It may be a sign, you know, to show that we are poor. When it is all about ourselves, our homes, our family, our work, our time, no time for God, no time for church, no time for service, no time on Sunday, no time on Tuesday, really on Friday, no night vigil, no evangelism. We are not anywhere. We are only seen once in a while. It is a sign that we are poor. The Lord will enrich us in Jesus' name. Sin enslaves the sinner, and he or she is not able to serve God. You see, the sinners are able to go clubbing, go partying, go for godless adventure, but when it comes to serving God, they are enslaved to sin. There's a man like that in the Bible. Let's read it together in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and see the poverty and servitude outside Christ. Nobody is not busy. Sinners are busy. Believers are busy. Let's see Romans chapter 7. I will read from verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Even that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, which I don't want to do, that I find myself doing, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity. You see, the servitude of a sinner. The servitude of sinners, you know, outside Christ, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see there the spiritual emptiness of sinners and how desolate they are. You see the moral bankruptcy of this man. This is Saul, who became Paul. He said, what I want to do, what I wish to do, I see that I could not do those things. And what I don't want to do, that is what I see myself doing. And that is the state of sinners. They are poor towards God. They are slave to sin and slave to Satan. And as we look at ourselves, as we desire to serve God, you can ask yourself, if in your life you are still enslaved by the dictate of the flesh, you know, by sin, and you still go into sin, and you are not able to obey the word of God, if you are always struggling and you really want to serve God within you, but you discover that the more you wish to serve God, the more you will to serve God, the more you see yourself going down into sin day by day, it's just a sign that, you know, you are serving somebody, and the person you are serving is sin and Satan. And as long as sin is your master, as long as Satan is your master, it will be difficult for you to serve God. It will be difficult for you to serve God. There is struggle with, you know, with sin in the lives of sinner. In the life of sinner, you see the struggle with sin, and you see the struggle with the slave master, which is Satan. You see there is that compulsion, that duty that a sinner must do, which is to do something against the word of God. That's what Paul the apostle said here. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In the life of sinners, there is a constant war, a constant fighting, you know, between moral witches and sinful nature. You know, that the wish is there. The moral witches is there. I just wish I can live a righteous life. I just wish I can stop this pornography. I just wish I can stop telling lies. I just wish I can stop this boyfriend and girlfriend association. I just wish I can stop deception. I just wish I can stop all this lifestyle of sin and anger and malice and hatred. The wish, the moral witch is there, you know, but because there is a slave master that must force the sinner to commit sin, that sinner's wish, you know, cannot come to reality. That is the state of sinners, the poverty and servitude outside Christ. But you see, Paul did not leave us without a hope. He told us, let's look at verse 25. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Jesus Christ set Paul's free. You know, he became free when he gave his heart to Jesus. And if you are there, you are still committing sin, you see that you are struggling, you see that you are just under that slave master, you are compelled to do what you don't want to do. Before you know it, you have committed a sin and you start crying again. The guilt is there. You are wondering, why am I like this? Every time you are moody, because those things you were doing, you don't want to do them, but you just see yourself doing those things. There is hope for you. And the hope you have is Christ. If you can turn over your life to Jesus and confess your sins, he will save you and you will become a true child of God. The Lord will give us that grace in Jesus' name. Let's go to the next part before we pray. The privilege of sonship and service in Christ. Privilege of sonship and service in Christ. Let's go back to the place we read before in Matthew 25. Verse 14 and verse 15. Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servant. He called his own servant and delivered unto them his good. Now you notice something in this passage. The Bible says he called his own servant and he delivered unto them his goods. He didn't call other people's servant. He didn't call just everybody out there in the streets. But it was his own, those who have become his own servant. Those were the ones he called and gave them talents. This is telling us that God must first own you before he can give you his own goods and talents. Before he can give you his service to do, you must first become his own. Before he can enable you and give you the ability to do his work, you must first become his own. And the question we must ask ourselves today is that, are you God's own? Does he own your heart? Does he own your life? Does he control that your mouth? Does he control your eyes? Does he control what you listen to? Does he control the place you go? Does he have, you know, take in the activities you engage in? Can you really say God owns you? Do you say, God, I am the owner of my body. I am the owner of myself. I can do what I like. I can wear what I want. I can say what I like. Nobody can talk to me. No, nobody can correct me. I am the owner of my life. Do you own yourself, or does God own you? If God owns you, then he'll be able to give you gift and talent and ability and hand over services into your hand to do. In verse 15, and unto one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Brethren, the reason why God is demanding accountability from us is because, you know, of your ability and your capacity. You see, God knows your ability, that he has endowed you with, you know, with, he has given you salvation. And then he can then give you, you know, capacity, can strengthen you, can give you gift,
And because of that ability, the grace of God has given to you in salvation, and the capacity, the competence, the gift he has given to you, else you must be accountable. So God has given us some things, and for those reasons, he wants us to be accountable. He wants us to see ourselves as privileged employee in his divine service. And he will give us the grace to do that in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 13. The Bible tells us in verse 13, and he called his ten servant, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. You see, because he has given them those 10 pounds, then he told them, engage in service. You are privileged. I've given you something special. Hence, engage in service. There are some things God has given to us. Some of all, the Lord has given us, you know, ability, strength to arrange things, to clean up places, to decorate, you know, to sing, to do something. And God wants us to use those things for his good. He is calling us today that we are privileged by virtue of that ability he has given to us. And based on that ability, he has given us goods and talent. He wants us to see ourselves as privileged servant and to work and to do his will. And God will give us the grace to do that in Jesus' name. Let's also read in Psalm 84, verse 10. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. You see, this is Psalmist saying that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. The Lord is telling us here that you don't have to be a pastor. In fact, you don't have to even be a certified scripture teacher. You don't even have to be a chorister. You may be a doorkeeper. And it's a privilege, you know, a privileged position. Look at the psalmist here, a whole king. Look at what he's saying. He said, for a day in thy court, a day in your house, a day in the church is better than 1,000. Can you imagine? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. The Lord is saying it's a revered position. It's a privileged position. It's a blessed position. You know, when you are the one who go there early and you clean up the place, when you are the one who stay back and clean up the place, when you are the one who take all the rubbish that people have done, just that is a privileged position. You may pick up a task. You may look out in the church. You may look out around. What can you do for God? There's something you can do for God. You can be the one reminding the brethren, oh, this brother is not in church today. You may want to send a message to him, calling him and say, brother, we didn't see you today. Sister, we didn't see you today. My son, my daughter, we didn't see you today. You maybe won't do that. It may look like a work of a doorkeeper, but the psalmist told us here that a day in the court of the Lord is better than 1,000 years. Take it as a privileged position. Take it as a privileged role. Take it as a privileged task, as a privileged duty, and do it. And brethren, the reason why you see murmuring and complaining about the work of God, and then you see all that, and if you see anybody murmuring and complaining about the work of God, it's just because that person has forgotten, or the enemy has made that person to forget that it is a privileged position that person is occupying. And the Lord will give us that grace in Jesus' name. To heed the Savior's call to salvation is to enter a kingdom of unlimited opportunities in time and eternity. It also gives us the privilege of serving him. Brethren, we are saved to serve. It's a great privilege that we are employed in the divine service. Christ has given his all, and we are bought with a promise. These are the privileges we have as believers. And the Lord is demanding that because of this great privilege and also the privilege of service, he wants us not to bury the talent he has given to us. Christ has given us grace and special gift. Gift we multiply when we use them constantly. Privileged employees must not waste those gifts. If you keep that gift there, if you say, okay, I'm going to wait, I'm not going to do anything now, let me wait for a while. 1 year you are waiting, 2 years you are waiting, 3 years you are waiting, the gift is deteriorated. By the time you are called to sing, the chorister or the choir, which has been your role for years, by the time you are called to sing, you discover that you are forgetting the tenor, the bass, everything is modular because you have not been using that talent. God wants you to put it, He wants us to put that gift to use. Gifts that are not used or buried will rust and will decay. God is calling us to make those gifts count. Spiritual service provides an opportunity for spiritual investment and growth. And that is why, God want us to engage in spiritual service. There is no vocation on earth that is as noble and rewarding as God's service. No wonder the psalmist said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. There was this man, this woman called Frances Avagal, a godly hymn writer. She visited a museum in Dusseldorf in Germany, and she saw the painting of a vivid portrayal of Christ. There in that painting, she saw Christ wearing his crown of thorns before Pilate. And the Jews, the Jewish mob, they were also seen in that painting. Beneath the picture were words. And what are the words beneath the picture? This have I done for thee. What hast thou done for me? As she saw that inscription and the painting, she was profoundly moved, and she wrote this hymn that we sing today. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? And brethren, don't rush over that song. Ask yourself, Christ has died, he has shed his blood, and he has given himself for us. Just ask yourself, what are you giving back? How are you showing your gratitude to the master? Remember the way you were saved. If truly you were born again, look at the life you were living. In fact, where God met you and saved you. And then try to think as human. If he had not met you and he had not saved you, what would you have become? And then now ask yourself, now that he has saved me, and this is what he has made of me. I'm so privileged. I'm so blessed, protected, preserved, given a new destiny, a meaning of life. Then ask, what have you given to God? Since this year started, apart from the general evangelism, have you preached to one person, on the way, in the car, in the school, by virtue of conversation, you notice something and then you talk about Jesus? Have you invited one person to church this year? One. Have you invited one person to church? Have you always been the one coming late to church every time? You have never come early. And there's somebody who always will be there cleaning the church. And that person is the only one doing it. Just like the 10% mentioned earlier, they are always the one busy. The 90% is there sharing them up. God is calling us this evening. Jump out of that 90% group and join the active 10%. See yourself as privileged, a custodian of the grace of God, a beneficiary of gift and talents. And then throw back as a form of gratitude to him, a service, a token of your service. It may even be as small as, of course, you may look at it as small, but the psalmist told us that even to be a doorkeeper, I'd rather be that. Because one day in the court of my God is better than 1,000 years. Let's present ourselves before the Lord and talk to the Lord this evening. The Lord is asking us this question: what are you giving back? And what have you been giving back? If you need to repent, tell God you are sorry. If you have not given your life to Jesus at all, the Lord is telling you that there are privileges of sonship and service in the house of the Lord, in Christ, in Jesus. And he wants to make you his son. He wants to make you his daughter. You can turn over your life to him. Stop struggling. Stop the moral self-righteousness. Stop it and just say, I cannot help anymore. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, forgive me my sin. I want to be a child of God. You have paid the price for me. You have redeemed me. You have shed the blood at the cross of Calvary. You have paid the price. I want to be born again. I want to be free from this anger. I want to be free from this malice. I want to be free from this pornography. I want to be free from this deception, from this life of lying, from this life of malice, from this unrighteousness. I want to be free. I want my conscience to be clean. That gate in my heart, I want you to take it away. I want to have an assurance of salvation. Talk to Jesus. Tell him you want to be his son, you want to be his daughter. And as believers, maybe you are getting weak, you are getting tired. The Lord is telling you, oh, what a great privileged position you have. What a wonderful privileged position you are occupying. Oh, the Lord is saying, maybe you are the one who has buried your talent. The Lord is saying, begin to exhume them. Like our pastor said earlier, let's present ourselves before the Lord. Pastor, please, you can take over.
Brethren, I want our life for you to begin to say, Lord, this life you have given me will count for something. How could you have done a lot for me and I'm still foot dragging? I'm still not doing my best. You know that hymn our pastor talked about? You know, it is just clear. The Lord is saying, I gave my all. It was actually God's most prized possession he gave up. He said, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. And the Lord is asking you, what have you done for me? If the Lord were to just stand, imagine the Lord standing in front of you and say, okay, what have you done for me? You remember when you wanted to come to Europe, you made countless promises, Lord, I will serve you. I will go to church, and here you are, you know, because you want to eat. Brethren, don't misconstrue my thoughts. It's good to walk very well. But if the Lord is to stand by you and said, okay, I did all this for you, what have you done for me? What are you going to reply back to the Lord? He say, what has thou done for you? I gave my life for thee. What have you done for me? And in sincerity, you may want to say, Lord, I can do better. Maybe if you have something to reply to the Lord, say, Lord, I sing in the choir. Good for you. But is that the best you can do? Maybe you're thinking I am doing something, but you are a 5-talenter and you are giving, you are returning a work worth of 1 talent, 2 talent. You can do more. Why don't you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I can do better. I can do better. Jesus is saying, my Father's throne of light, my glory circle throne, for wandering sand and road, I left all for the earth. He said, has thou left anything? Have you left anything? You know, just half an hour addition so that we can have Lord's Supper every first Sunday. You are grumbling already. They are keeping me waiting in the church. Just half an hour. Quarter of an hour, 10 minutes, the prayer is extended and you are inconvenient. Jesus is saying, you know, I give all my prized possession, my heaven circle throne. all for thee, what ought are you giving? You know, if David were to stand before you saying, you know what, I told Arana. Arana was very courteous, very civil. He was saying, you know, King, have this for the sacrifice. And David would say, you know, I will not render unto the Lord what will not cost me anything. What is it costing you to serve the Lord? The Lord has given you so much. Again, I tell you, before you got the scholarship to come and study in Finland, you know the promises you made to the Lord. Lord, I will serve you. Lord, I will be in the church. Lord, I will evangelize. Lord, I will pray. And now they even have to use text message to, you know, not to look for you. Service is started. Nothing. It's not as if anything is taking you back, but you just confidently stay back. Until pastor will come say, please, the service is started. Where are you? Before you come to church, Jesus is asking you, I left all that for you. What have you left for me? What have you done for me? You are praying and committing yourself to the house of the Lord. Lord, I can do better. I can do better. Jesus is saying, I suffer much for thee, more than tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue you from hell. We've heard about testimony of God's goodness earlier today, how the Lord is keeping we and ours, you know, our extended family, our nuclear, you know, the Lord is doing a lot for us. And Jesus is asking, what have you borne for me? You know, the Lord, he bore shame, agony, the Son of God, the meek and gentle, he was bullied, he was shamed, all because of us. He bore it all. What have you borne for the Lord? You know, a little inconvenience is no 3, 4, 5 centimeters of snow. You say, church, I'm not coming today. You say, it is too cold to come to church. You know what the Lord bought for us? For little inconveniences, and you are saying, that's the brethren, we can do better. Commit yourself. You know, all these things, you have to tell it back to the Lord. Oh God, you have done so much for me. There's no way I could repay. But this little life I have, it will count for something. It will count for something. And Jesus is saying, I have brought to thee down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gift to you. What have you brought to me? What have you brought to me? We've heard today that everybody in the church, there is no quote and unquote useless person. You've been gifted with something special. It could be one, but it is there. It could be 2 talents, but it is there. It could be 5 talents, it is there. Don't be like that one talenter. Who is, you know, he said, that this is what is yours, take it. In yourself, it is their church. After all, I'm not a deeper life from home. It is their church. I'm not going to do anything for the service of God. This is not my original parents' church. I'm just here studying. Dying they had, this is your talent, take it, the Lord. I hope somebody is not doing like that today. I hope somebody is not saying, it is their church, it is not my business. It is fine for me to be the part of the 90%. It is fine for me to be at the ringside, begin cheering and say, right down, pastor, you know somebody somewhere. Particularly have forgun his, you know, his sleep so that he could come early to church, and nothing debars you totally. You could help, you could throw your skill. Brethren, when Mordecai was challenging Esther, you know, he said, you don't know, it is because of, it could be because of this time you have come to the throne. It could just be because the Lord needs that service, that administrative skill you have. You are so organized, you know, you know the local church needs this skill. You know, you see how the pastor is struggling. It is the pastor and the wife. You know, they will come to the church early in the morning and they will be the last to go. If the pastor's wife leaves the pulpit, the pastor takes over, and you are there conveniently clapping. What are you doing, brethren? What are you doing, brethren? And you know, it's not because you cannot do it. It's you are just because you are doing like that one talenter. You are just saying, my master is an austere man. He's a wicked man. He wants to reap where it's not so. And you are there conveniently, not because you are not born again, and you see the pastor, you will from the congregation go to the PR system, try to adjust the mic, and you are there. Able body, willing, born again, and you are folding your hands. Brethren, let's just say, Lord, I can do better. We can all do better. The word of God has come to us. If only we are going to throw our hand on the job for the Lord, we can do better. The work of God will progress more than this. The Lord is challenging you, sister. You know that sonorous voice you have. You know you can use it for the Lord. and it is the pastor that is doing la 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 on the pulpit because nobody to pilot the congregational song. And you are there, you are musically skilled, and you are seeing everything. You can do better. You can do anything and everything that is debarring us for God's service. The Lord yank them off today. Just go ahead as humble as possible. You can be to the Lord and say, Lord, I can do better. Lord, I can do better. Today, the talent that I've hung somewhere that is rusting and wasting away, I pick up the boot again. It is long time you have sang, but you know the Lord has given the gift you can sing. You know you can help the pastor wife in your local church. If it is just, you know, after the vicar we have, just say, pastor wife, please, mommy, it's okay today. Let me do the dishes today. Just to give an helping hand. You see the pastor, you have to be the one to go drop member A member, and you are there, you can drive, you can help the work. Say, Lord, I throw him my heart to the ring. I say, Lord, I am enlisted for the fight. I'm enlisted for the service. It's a privilege anyways for the King of Glory to look for you to say, you know, trade, occupy till I come. It's such a privilege. Maybe you have not viewed it like that. Just like that person who is thinking he has all the time. And Jesus said, you know, I must walk the walk while it is day. Brethren, you don't know why the Lord has arranged it, why you are here this time. There are over 200 countries you could have been, but right now and here, the Lord has brought you. Maybe this place is not even your first choice. Maybe it is not even where you wanted to come. But something, somehow, the Lord arranged it, you are here. You think it's an accident? The Lord needs your service, brethren. You will say that, I came here to study. All right, you are studying, but you know the Lord is one who has given you the privilege, the strength, the mental ability, the favor. Maybe you are not even qualified. Maybe you have your testimony or how the admission came in the first place. You know, you have been on the waiting list for a while. The Lord miraculously arranged it, you are here. And you seen all the favor the Lord has gone before you to make crooked way straight, and he's expecting you. Okay, when my child come, he will help in the work. When we call for evangelism, he will come. But here you are, you say, it is my work. It is my bill. It's everything. And the Lord is saying, you know, child, you know why I brought you here? Do something for me. You are going to pick it up. We are going to pick it up. We are going to say, Lord, we are sorry. Jesus says, I must do the work. Brethren, is that your attitude? Would you do the work? If the pastor do not compel you, will you do the work? He said, the time is coming. Oh, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the night is coming when no man can walk. Maybe you think you are still young. Yes, when I get to 50, when I get to 40, when after I've got the second, third, fourth masters, or when I'm done with my PhD thesis, then I will consider working for the Lord. Brethren, the night come when no man can walk. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. The time, the opportunity, the privilege, the strength you have now, use it for the Lord. Lord, I will. Lord, I will. I will do all your bidding. Lord, I will. I have made up my mind to serve you, Lord. Lord, I will. Lord, I will. So here am I, Lord. Here am I. Only available as for me. I will serve the several. It got to a time, you know, Joshua had to make it emphatic. He said, you know what, children of Israel, if you are not going to do anything, he said, if you are not going to do anything, as for me and my house, you will serve the Lord. I want us to assume that same position, say, any other person may not. People may choose to go bury their talent, but as for me, as for my house, and this little talent the Lord has given unto me, it is only to sing, Lord, I will sing. This administrative skill I have, this IT skill I have, this teaching ability ability I have, if it's only that one, I will do it. You may not even have much. But you know, just like Arana said, you know, if it's only this land I have, I give it up. I have to contribute to the progress of the work of the land. Enough. People have died already. Is it for sacrifice? So the Lord will be at peace. I gave up something. You are saying, just like Joshua, as for me and my house, others may not think it's necessary, but I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. After all the Lord has done for us, I saw in a close range. I saw Moses did the miracle. I seen that Jehovah God is trustworthy. He said, you know, the rest of you, you may not want to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you please say the same to the Lord? Say, Lord, I am committed to this work. I know it's a holy privilege. Pastor Red repeatedly had the same says, if it's the job, the doorkeeping job that's available, it is far better. You know, the New Testament said, he that desired the work of a bishop is a good thing. Maybe the problem before now is to say, like, it is, you know, the non-entity, the intellectually lazy that go about every Sunday doing supposed God's work. Maybe you are thinking deep down that it is people who are not, you know, they are not wealthy, they are not sound academically. Those are the people who work for God. Brother, we saw the same saying that if it is the doorkeeping job, hey, it is the best thing ever. New Testament said, he that desired the office of a bishop is a good thing. Maybe you are thinking it's not a good thing, it's a shameful work. I challenge you to have everything, to renew your mind, to have a paradigm shift that for you to work for the Lord, it's a privilege. It is not intellectually lazy people that do God's work. No, far from it. Very smart, wealthy people, they throw in their heart, their lives to work for God. It's a privilege to do the work of God. Would you please enlist to the list of the people who want to say, God, I will use my service to you. I expect after today, when you are afraid, you are going to contact your pastor and say, Lord, Pastor, I do not pray. I think I can help. I think I've seen the struggle in the church. I can help with this thing. The Lord will do so. Sister, pick up that singing ministry. You have it there. You know the Lord has given you the talent. Pick it up. You see, in the children's church, in your local church, you could help. The single teacher we have there is struggling. The children are making noise, and you have that gift, the talent and the patience to be with children. You tell them beautiful story. The Lord has given you storytelling ability. You could illustrate very well to help the children, and you are folding your hands. You just say, Lord, I am in. Lord, I am in. I am. We have seen that there is poverty and servitude outside Christ. You know, if you think that the talent God has given to you, you only want to make you with it. Well, good luck. At the end of the day, it is only what we do for Christ that will last. When everything is said and done, only what will matter would be, have I thrown myself for the Lord, for his service, for heaven, for God and for souls? Have I done my best? Brethren, you have to reconsider. You have to, where necessary, tell the Lord you are sorry and begin to plan an adequate change. If it means that you are going to rejig your timetable, in the week you can do as many overtime. I mean, not the basic work, but you will do the overtime so much that there's no even time left to consider doing the work of God. If need be, you are rejigging your timetable and said, well, I can cut the overtime where it is not necessary, so that I can have time for the kingdom duties. The Lord knows and he remembers those sacrifices, and he reward adequately to me. Again, I want us to praise the Lord. Here am I. I will. Lord, I will. I want us to commit ourselves to the hands of the Lord. I haven't heard a word like this. It is only fair to say, Lord, in realization of how good you are to me, for all that you've done, the least I can do. I mean, it is the least is to get involved. Enough of that ringside cheerleading. Right on, Pastor. Well done, my brother. You are doing well. I see you are doing well. You are doing well. But put your hand at the work, and the Lord will help us. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Children of God, we can unmute our mind to say amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Oh God, we have no words, no excuses, no plea. We're just saying we're sorry. we can do better. We can do better. In all of you have done for us, before we came here, we made a lot of promises. I will serve you. I will be there. And we got here. The weather, the drive for money, you just make all our promises to fall to the ground. Lord, no excuses. We just come simply and humbly to say we are sorry. This work of God will be involved. We've seen there is poverty, there is servitude outside Christ. If the talent and gift given unto us is to be used in the pub houses, those will not pay. If the talent and gift given unto us, it is to use it not to glorify God, at the end of the day, it is not rewardable, we are repenting and saying, Lord, enough of those armchair criticism. We are on the ringside. When we are not criticizing, we are cheerleading. Lord, we want to get involved. And where practically possible, going forward, we'll make adjustments in the name of Jesus. We see the struggle with the 10%, how they are working their fingers out. You know, the pastor, the wife, few people in the church, they are just doing the work so tiring. And here we are, we have the gift. We are saved by grace. You have done a lot for us. Lord, we say we throw our heart in the ring. We will be involved. And Lord, our services will be rewardable in the name of Jesus. Lord, are there rusting away gift and talent because they've been buried so long? As we go out to dig them out, as we go out to dig, we're not giving excuses. Our Lord is one austere and strict man. He's the kindest master there is. He's the master of the universe. He gave us the talent in the first place. If he's not loving and caring, he will not give unto us. He has given us the talent. And we pray, Lord, as we dig out this talent, oh God, we use it for you. Oh God, as we go back to pick up our hymns, our songbook, to join the choir, you are step as service. As we join the electronics, as we hear the call for evangelism, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our services will be rewardable in the name of Jesus. God, for our pastor, you have used us today. We just pray ever more you fill him. As God is fed us spiritually, I pray, God, virtues which have gone out, you refill him in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we see practical, oh God, response, reply to this call to God's service, Lord, your name will be glorified. The church will be edified. The church will move forward. In the mighty name of Jesus, we want to bless your name because as always, you have had us. We pray these blessings, this revival, this fire you put in our heart, it will not be short-lived. Lord, it will be a permanent blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, how we thank you. We bless your name because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And the people of God say,
Amen.
Thank you so very much, brethren, for your patience.